Welcome, friends, on this Sunday of Christ the King, Cold Sunday, Episcopal Ramblings from North Idaho. This is Father David from St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. We turn now to Christ, who is far above all nations and powers, who will judge the nations and peoples of the earth, whose body we are as the church in this world, whose fullness fills all things. Amen. So here we are at the end of the church year. In the church, this is our last Sunday of the church calendar year. Next Sunday begins a new church year with the beginning of Advent. So, Happy New Year, folks. And what a year to bring to an end and leave behind, right? This year, 2020, will live on in our memories for a long, long time. We'll see whether or not we learn anything from it, whether we learn any lessons from it, as stubborn as we are as human beings. As a church, we bring to an end a year that began last Advent, and it comes to a conclusion on this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, when we mark with hope the vision of the return of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We trust and hope and put ourselves behind this amazing hope that history and the march of time will draw to a great final conclusion, with all things drawn together under the reign of God, when the kingdom of God finally arrives in fullness, when there's a new beginning, a new heaven, and a new earth. So, Happy New Year. Happy day of Christ the King. Happy day of all things made new. We have one Lord, and it is not Caesar. We have only one that we accept as our ultimate ruler, who is our ultimate guide and friend, who is the lover of all humankind and all creation. And it is not any president or monarch or power group. It is most certainly not Donald Trump. It is not Joe Biden. It is no one in this nation or any nation. No, it is the one who is God with us, Emmanuel, the Lord of life and Prince of Peace. So I love these scriptures for today. We draw from Ezekiel and Matthew. And the prophet Ezekiel points to a promised saving, redeeming, rescuing judgment of God among the people of Israel. God will not abandon God's people. God promises and says, I will search for you. I will rescue you. I will bring you out from scattered places and gather you and bring you home. I will feed you and give you safe rest. I will be your shepherd. I will seek the lost and bring back the wayward. I will heal. I will strengthen. And I will judge. Some of you have mistreated others and taken advantage of your privilege and pushed out the weaker ones. You fattened ones will be judged for this. I will judge between sheep and sheep. This is a beautiful promise of God, that for Israel there shall be a great, wise, caring, justice-setting ruler rise up who will attend to each one. God's care here is for the whole flock of sheep, but is also very personal, with specific care for each sheep depending on its condition and behavior. Jesus pulls from this image of God and of the Messiah that is deep in the hearts of the people of Israel in the parable we hear today. This is the great culminating teaching of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. In this, Jesus is pointing to the great end of history, when the Son of Man comes in glory to take the throne. Then the nations will be gathered before him. The nations, not just the people as a bunch of individuals, not just the rulers of the nations, but the nations, whole peoples, whole groups, whole tribes and clans and ethnic groups and nation states and empires. Christ's judgment is of whole peoples. We will stand before God, not just as individuals, but as whole nations and groups. And the judgment of Christ comes down to this. How did you care for one another? Ask yourselves, Where does the United States stand before God now? Where are we sorted in Jesus' sorting of the nations? Jesus was tested by the religious rulers. They asked him, what was the greatest commandment? And he said this, first, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And second, love your neighbor as yourself. How does this nation, the United States, hold up in light of these commandments? How are we doing as a nation and as various groups within that nation? How are our rulers doing? How are we as citizens doing? The first and greatest commandment is not love yourself above all others and love only those who fawn over you. The second great commandment is not love others by telling them to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. It's interesting in the parable of the sorting of the nations, like the shepherd sorts sheep from the goats, neither group seems to know what Jesus is talking about. And both groups ask the same question. Lord, when were you here? When was it we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? Neither seemed to be aware that it was Jesus they were seeing. Neither group seemed to be aware of this. So, the nations and peoples who act with steady caring and giving, even to those who don't seem to deserve it, and even though they don't recognize Jesus who is within and surrounding and alongside these needy and neglected ones, these are the nations that are blessed and will join in the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. These nations don't know that it is Christ, the Lord of life, to whom they are offering care and love, but they have offered it nonetheless. Likewise, the nations and peoples who neglect life's unfortunate souls, victims of others' abuse, of power, or of terrible circumstances of their own decisions, and the nations and peoples who blame such people for their own circumstances or treat them with shame and outright dismissal, these are the nations that are cursed and cast out from God's kingdom. These nations don't know that it is Christ the Lord that they are ignoring, neglecting, shaming, and further punishing. It would be easy to read this passage as a sorting of individuals and then ask ourselves, well, how am I doing? And then we will see how each one of us falls short, because none of us can lift the burdens of everyone around us on our own. We need each other to do this work. You might remember that old poem that's attributed to Ben Franklin, but actually goes back in history to England, to some parish priests. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the battle was lost. For want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. And all for the want of a horseshoe nail. This little saying gets to the heart of how Christ sits in judgment of the nations. Every person matters, yes. And the total effort together is what makes the difference. We together build a nation of peace, justice, and steady, unwavering care together. Or we don't. But the question remains, Lord, when were you here? This is a question we can each ask ourselves at the end of this year. Lord, where are you that I'm not seeing? And the second question is like it. Does it matter if I think I can see Jesus or not? Am I or are we giving to others for the kind of love, with the kind of love that Jesus is calling us to give, regardless of whether we see him or not? Am I willing to meet each person as if I was meeting the living Christ, the Lord of life and Prince of Peace? Choose this day whom you will serve. Christ awaits among the blessed who are poor in spirit, who mourn, who are meek, who are the strangers and outcasts and hungry. Christ is calling from there. Maybe where we serve is truly where Christ reigns and where the kingdom of heaven opens wide. Let this coming Advent and this coming year be rich with giving and caring for others all around us. Let us all do our part to call our nation to a different way, the way of love. We are Christ's body, and we meet Christ at every turn. And living this way, Christ truly becomes all in all. Amen.